And good morning to you, Roger. It was a great start to the Australian Open day one with some mixed results for the Aussies, but certainly we'll get straight into it and talk about Bernard Tomic, lost to Marin Cilic, then came out and sprayed Leighton Hewitt. Have you got any more light on that situation as we say good morning?
Good morning, Noel. Well, look, I'm only what I've obviously read in the on the feed, social media, etc. And it's an interesting one. I mean, I think you've got to, at the end of the day, you've got to be true to yourself out there on the tennis court and as a profession. And you know, I think those comments aren't, you know, they're not warranted comments as far as, you know, there was someone who actually played the game at the highest level, number one player in the world, and all those sort of things. You can reel off the stats, but they gave everything to the sport. And when you've got someone who's having pot shots, you know, regardless, I think it's regardless of what the situation is, I don't think it's the right thing to do. Just you know, for Bernie, I'd love him just to put his head down, get himself in the condition that he needs to be to play tennis at a professional level, day in, day out, week in, week out, and offer himself to the challenge. But at the moment, we don't see that product, unfortunately. And then, you know, to then be making the comments that he makes, I think you're first going to look after your own backyard.
Regardless of who's made the comments, so Roger, is there any validity to it at all? Is it echoed by other players? Are the Hewitts too big for Australian tennis? We had another caller in who seemed to have intimate details of how junior tennis works, and they made an argument that the Hewitts are too big for Australian tennis. Do you get any of that feeling of discontent about their position in the sport at all?
I don't know if anyone's too big for a sport. Mm. You know, that's the first thing. I think the sport's always bigger than the athlete. We've known that. I mean, but you know, Leighton's the Australian Davis Cup captain. Mm. So when you're the captain, you can decide to steer that how you wish. And Leighton's done that, and he's done it the way he's wanted to take hold of deliver his leadership through the Davis Cup. So whatever that looks like, it's like having a coach at a football team. You know, there are always going to be coaches that are, you know, players that actually love the coach, and there's going to be a few players if they're not getting a game and they think they should be getting a game. Maybe that, you know, they'll actually, you know, have different feelings for the coach. So it's just one of those natural playouts as far as, you know, teams and coaches go. And you know, I think we can obviously see the admiration that someone like Alex Diminor has for Leighton. You know, there's other guys, Jordan Thompson. So there's guys out there that are showing how important it is for Leighton to be involved in there. So that's the inner workings of teams, I think.
Let's go on to Alex Diminor last night. 3-set victory over Sousa. Did it quite easily in the end, and was pretty pumped when he got that win too.
Yeah, look, he played. The reason why he was pumped is, you know, that's a danger match. I did that match, and you're playing there, and you're all the way through the weekend on Saturday. You win your first title as a 19-year-old, your first title on home soil. You've played a lot of tennis. You have to back yourself up, which is fine as a 19-year-old. That's not a problem at all. But then you've got to jump into a Grand Slam. You've only got a day or a day and a half, and then you're playing your first round. So it wasn't his cleanest tennis, but what he did do was he offered the competitive challenge that he always does, and then from there he just got the job done. And to win in 3 sets, not exert yourself physically, that was the key.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good performance also from Ash Barty, Rog.
Yeah, Ash was clinical. I thought she continued on from Sydney. And what I'm liking really for the Australians, and we had 8 winners yesterday, and we've got 8 players playing today, and we're off to a good start, obviously. But what I'm liking is the way they're absorbing the environment out here. They're enjoying the actual task of actually playing in their hometown, you know, in their home country with the Australian flag. They use the Australian crowd as well to be involved in the matches. So that's one thing that cannot happen to a lot of players as well, where they actually fear and put the pressure on themselves to actually excel. At a Grand Slam, at a, you know, major event. There's not too many countries. You know, there are four countries in the world that get an opportunity. So 4 groups of players get an opportunity to play a home Grand Slam, and it treats people very differently. But we're just sort of riding a group of athletes that are actually enjoying and embracing the opportunity to be involved in it. So that's the pleasing thing for me to see what comes out of this. The most important thing is that when you do have your win or two here. You need to trampoline that and actually take it through the rest of the tour, because once we actually grab our passport and actually jump on that jet and head overseas, it's a different type of world, different environment, and that's when I really look to see what the players do in those following months, if they can use that as a springboard.
Just a quick one, mate. What's the preferred jet? Is it a G5 for you, mate? Must be, isn't it?
Yeah, I very much enjoy the G5. I'm sure that you might have been on the odd one or two yourself.
Love it. This bloke,
not the reporters. We're in the back of the plane.
Probably got a couple of jets. Rafa Nadal, there were injury concerns, but he knocked over James Duckworth quite easy yesterday. Ominous form.
Yeah, Rafa's been... I mean, look, I don't know if you saw that, but he just comes out straight away immediately and he just jumps onto the court and he just offers you Rafa as if he was playing in the Grand Slam final. And that's what you're actually up against. And unfortunately, James Duckworth hit the ball pretty well. He probably pressed a little too early at the start of the match, unfortunately, and didn't settle himself into the match, which is really important. But it just engages you mentally every single point. So I love what he brings to the table. You can't help but watch him. I think if you're another sports person or you've got young sports people around the country, you want to lock into his mentality and just see how he treats each opponent, because it's exactly the same. And that's his stepping stone to success, because he feels like he needs to operate at that level to get to the next stage of the tournament. He was fantastic. Roger was very clinical. He always is here. You know, first night match, I mean, it's the Roger show generally. And there's not too many times where he's disappointed the fans that have paid for that Monday night ticket or Tuesday night ticket, whichever he gets scheduled. Mm.
And obviously Andy Murray, we're talking about him quite a lot today. Yeah, that's very gutsy in defeat.
Yeah,
well, until we fell asleep, because we've been getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was pretty, that's non-committal for you. Just dozing off.
I woke up. I was dozing in and out, Roger.
It was a big moment. Well, I mean, two sets of life, you could have thought, okay, maybe that, you know, it's not going to happen. But I think, you know, when you're finishing off, that match just showed exactly what he's offered. You know, as an athlete, as a tennis player, he's always been there. He's always been willing to dig in. He's been willing to play under adversity. So come back to grab the second, third and fourth set. That was, the crowd was going ballistic in there. I was doing Bernard's match. So there's nothing ballistic going on there. But and then, you know, obviously the ending was not what he wanted, but Batista good. Just think about the opposition going into that match. He's playing a Englishman, he's playing in Australia, so generally you'd probably get just a warm reception. It was like he's playing a Davis Cup match against. So that, you know, that Andy left the door open, though. That was the intriguing thing with Andy, and so it just showed in his mind that he may have been forced a little bit in that press conference to make, you know, I'm not sure if he was walking into that press conference the other day before the tournament to make a clear statement that he was definitely retiring.
Yes.
So, you know, he left the door open a little bit to pursue one final option and maybe maybe have one more go at it.
We look forward to Nick Kyrgios today taking on Milos Raonic. Sam Stosur is up as well, and also Serena Williams. How do you see today's day panning out?
Well, I think Serena will take care of business, and I also like Sam. Yes, she's playing a tricky opponent, but I still like Sam. I think you know, I've always obviously, you know, gone with the Australians, and you know, if I see a sort of a 50-50 matchup, and that's what I feel like this one is. And if you look at, you know, the Kyrgios-Rios Raonic match, that's the most intriguing one for us for the day. And that's it's going to be a shootout. It's not a match where there's going to be a lot of high-end rallies. But what I like with Nick is that he's got the ability with the racket head. He's actually that's a wand in his hand, and he can actually do a lot of extra things on the tennis court when he gets access to opportunities. So with that in mind, if you go serve for serve, I feel like Nick's got a better serve. He can switch off his second serve. And Milos is manufactured. He's a manufactured tennis player versus a very, very natural tennis player,
yeah.
And with in and around the tennis court. So I lean with Nick there. And Dasha Gavrilova plays as well.
Yep.
I expect her to get through as well. So we've got eight Aussies on court. Panassi Kokkinakis. So he needs to get a win on the board. He plays Toro Daniel, who's a great opportunity for him. He's only in the mid-60s, around 60, 70 in the world. So Daniel, so this is a big opportunity I would expect him to walk through.
Well, we look forward to the day unfolding. Roger, enjoy your call, and we'll chat tomorrow, and hopefully we can chat about the Aussies going through into round two.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.